You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.
Okay, now, this isn't just a fashionable, you know, trendy thing where you, like, put the words on separate levels, right? This is actually Feliz Navidad, okay? All right, that's why I bought this. Actually, my son thought this was a really cool, ugly Christmas sweater. I don't think it's that ugly, though. I don't think any of my Christmas sweaters have been ugly so far. So if you guys think differently, then don't tell me because you'll hurt my feelings. Now, this has been a fun series, and thank you for participating. Those of you guys that have worn your ugly Christmas sweaters, and forgive me if I've approached you and said, you know, nice ugly Christmas sweater, and you're like, this isn't my ugly Christmas sweater, because I don't know, I just thought you were trying to be a part of the theme. So anyway, but I'm excited. This has been a lot of fun, and it's good to be back. I've been a couple Sundays, I've sat there in the back, got to hear, listen to Jerry, and thank you so much for your prayers. I know our family was just kind of going through a time. We just needed some space and some healing, and our church family is just, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much. Debbie and I can't say enough to you guys about the kind words and just your generosity and all of that. Man, couldn't ask for a better church family, so thank you so much. As we just want to make sure that you guys know that we care about you, we love you, and we do appreciate you. So, and I'm excited because as we get closer to Christmas, I start thinking about, I don't know if you do the same thing, but I get flooded with all these memories of Christmas. Does that happen to you too? I mean, Christmas, and you hear a song on the radio, and it kind of reminds you of something that happened in your childhood, or maybe it reminds you of a beautiful experience at Christmas. But then there's also those moments where you hear something or you experience something around the holidays, and it reminds you of something not so great. Something that happened, you're like, oh man, I wish it hadn't happened around the holidays, because it just reminds me when the holidays come along of that event happened. And so I don't know about you, but maybe as it gets closer to Christmas and you start feeling a little more anxiety, you start to feel a little more pressure to get your Christmas shopping done, what is the one thing that everybody says to you when you like go to a store to purchase something? When you're at the cashier, you know, or even if you go to a restaurant, you see someone that you don't know very well, and you know, the awkward silence is broken by this one question. What do they always ask you? Are you ready for Christmas? Have you been getting that question a lot? I have, just over and over. You know what I do whenever someone says, are you ready for Christmas? I'm just totally honest. I'm like, you know what? I'm not, and I could really use your help. And so I'll break out my list, you know, and I'll just be like, hey, since you asked, you know, maybe you can help me. People would stop asking, I think, if you just recruited them to do some of your Christmas shopping for you. But so I thought about this message title, okay? So I have to admit, this is a little bit of a play on words, okay, for the message this morning. So I was trying to think of a way to express that Christmas is all about being with people, being with each other. And so I'm like, okay, it's all about, you know, being present, being there. And I'm like, oh, present. Presents. It's all about presents. People think automatically that Christmas, the big deal is getting presents, right? So if I said all about presents, I could kind of lead people down that road of you can't always get what you want. Sometimes you get what you need, like socks or, like Jerry says, underwear. Who gives underwear for Christmas? I really hope that you stop doing that if that's you're in the habit of giving underwear. I actually saw a cool Christmas gift. It was underwear for your hands. I don't know why you would need underwear for your hands, but it just seemed like a cool look. And so maybe, I don't know, someone might get that for Christmas. But you start thinking about what you're going to get for Christmas. And so since everybody's mind is kind of going there already, I thought this idea of all about presents was kind of a fun title that goes with our series. But my title probably should have been this, all about presents. Because the reality is that Christmas is all about being with people, okay? And more importantly, it's about God being with us, about God being present. And that's the thought that I want to explore today in our time together. I want to talk about how God has chosen to be with us. God has made this conscious decision to come and be present with us. Does that sound cool? All right, so we're going to look at a couple scripture. We'll do a little bit of jumping around, but we're going to talk about this idea, how this is something that God chose to do for us. So why don't we pray, and we'll jump into this, find out what God has for us this morning. God, thank you so much for another opportunity for us to gather in your house. God, and we realize that we're meeting here in a gymnasium, but Father, we know that wherever we gather, that you are present, and we know more than just the places we gather, Father, but you are in and through your creation, God. You are constantly present with us, even when we don't feel your presence, because we rely on your promises and the truth of your word. And so thank you, God, for being present in our lives. And as we explore what that means for us and how that changes the feeling and the perspective that we have at Christmas time, I pray, Father, you would speak into our hearts, that you would give us the truth that you want us to take with us into our week. And God, most of all, I pray today that the words that I speak would be your words. So thank you, God. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've been to a lot of church services in my lifetime, and a pastor would most often get up and he would say something like, "We welcome your presence, God," you know, and you almost feel like it's this formal invitation. It's like God's not here yet, but when the pastor says, "God, come, we welcome your presence," you know, then all of a sudden God's like, "Oh yeah, I got a place to be this Sunday morning," right? And it's not that way. That's not how God works. God is here, and God is not at our beck and call, okay? It's not like God is like, "Okay, since they invited me, I'm going to show up," right? Now, by the way, that works in social settings for us, okay? If you're invited, then you show up, right? If you're not invited, then, you know, I don't know, maybe try to get yourself invited, but yeah, you don't want to show up without an invitation. But with God, he never needs an invitation, because God is with us. God's presence is with us. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So I want to look at a couple of scriptures that are going to kind of launch us off into this. And so the first one is Isaiah 7:14. Oh, meant to say that, sorry. Go ahead and put that up there, Lynette. Sorry, I skipped right over it. Back it up one slide. There you go. Okay. There it is. Yes, that's what I meant to say. Christmas isn't all about presents. It's all about presence. Okay. Was that already on the screen earlier? Did I just miss that? Okay. Isaiah 7:14. We want to jump into this passage from the Old Testament, and then we're going to look at a verse from the New Testament, and we're going to talk about what it means, because they're saying the same thing. So Isaiah 7:14 says, "The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And then in Matthew 1, verse 23, it says, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. So here we have one of the names of Jesus. In fact, the meaning, the intent behind the name of Jesus is his presence. It's an announcement that God has chosen to come and be among his creation, to be with us. And it's interesting, because in the Hebrew language, you have the word Emmanuel, and anytime you see the letters E-L in a Hebrew word, it is the name of God, okay? So there's a lot of names in the Bible, like Daniel ends with E-L, and so something about the name of Daniel has to do with God. And so someone might be have a name that ends with E-L, and it's just part of the name, and it's a description of God's character, okay? So someone's name might be, this person is a messenger from God. Or it might be, their name might mean, this person is blessed of God. Okay, so whenever you see the E-L, it means that is God's name. And so this Emmanuel means with us God, or God with us. And then in the Greek language, you have the word Emmanuel, which simply just means God with us, okay? Some of your translations might be spelled with an E at the front instead of an I. But the important thing for us to understand here is this is the name of God, the name that Jesus chose to be represented, and he said, "I am with you," God with us. And so there's a couple ways that God is with us that I really think we need to explore together, because sometimes, if you're like me, sometimes you kind of feel a little bit alone? Do you ever get that sensation that God is distant? That maybe at one point God was, you know, very close and you felt a connection with God, and then maybe something happened, maybe, you know, time passed and you kind of drifted off, and then you find yourself in a place where you just start to question, is God really with me? Is God's presence really a part of my life still? And I want to answer that question for you. I want us to talk about the ways that God is with us. And the first thing that I want us to focus on is that God is with me in my world. God is with me in my world and all of what that means. Let's look at John 1:14. It says, so the word, which is in Jesus, okay? We're going to be studying the Gospel of John here coming up in January. And this first introduction to Jesus in the Gospel of John calls Jesus the Word. He says, so the Word became human and made his home among us. I love that statement because it's not just like Jesus visited us, right? It's not like Jesus just, you know, he was a tourist, you know, on his tour of the galaxy and he had Earth like on his bucket list. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an intentional decision for God to incarnate himself and become a part of his creation, to choose this earth as his home. That's what this verse says. The Word became human and made his home among us. It also says in verses 10 through 12, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. Now imagine this, it's not just the fact that Jesus came to be a part of his creation, but the fact that he wasn't going to get the kind of recognition that he deserved. He came into the world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. So he didn't get the recognition that he deserved, and instead, he got rejection. But to all who believed him and accepted him, and he gave the right to become the children of God. Here's the important thing that you guys need to know, that we all need to know. See, Emmanuel, God with us, means Jesus loved you enough to leave his place of glory behind and make your surroundings his home. That is a big deal, guys. I don't know how much that means to you. I don't know how important it is for you when you think of Jesus leaving heaven, leaving a place of glory, a place of comfort. Let's just be honest. When you get comfortable, like think of the chair that you sit in at your house that's the most comfortable. When you get comfortable, you don't want to get up, right? I mean, you have the kids bring you the remote control, right? Even though it's like maybe 4 or 5 feet away, it's like, hey, can you pass me that? You know, I like to do this little trick. I'm just going to let you guys in on this so you can try it in your own home. But when I'm comfortable sitting somewhere and I see something that I like and maybe it's kind of far away, well, I'll ask my son, hey, son, can you pass me that? And I'll point to something kind of close. And as he starts to look, you know, what he's looking at and he gets up to move towards it, I start to move my hand, you know. And he's like, what, Dad, what? And I'm like, that over there. But he's already up, right? So he's already moving, so he's got to move over. So try that, just see how it works. You know, point to something really close, you know, not the remote, obviously, but something, you know, close by and say, hey, could you pass me that? And then as they get up, just kind of move your finger and say, yeah, that over there. It works like a charm. But here's the reality. When we get comfortable, when we get in a place where we, you know, have just kind of settled in, sometimes it's pretty hard to move us. Sometimes it's pretty hard for us just to get the energy to get up and go, or even the will, right? We just don't. Have you ever been that way? You're laying in bed, and you're just like, I don't want to get up. I'm so comfortable right now. You know, the mornings, especially when it's cold during the wintertime, and it's like at that time when the alarm clock goes off, it's like your covers just kind of like scoot in a little closer to you and get a little bit warmer and more comfortable. You're just like, oh, no, I'm snoozing. I'm hitting that snooze button because there's no way I'm going to leave this place. I think of how comfortable is God in his glory. How comfortable is the place that God has chosen as his existence? I mean, everything around God is made for his pleasure and for his glory. That is what Jesus gave up to come here to earth, to experience the garbage that we have to go through. He made his surroundings, our surroundings, his home. But even more than that, look at Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, and this is crazy. If you really read this and think through it, it'll blow your mind. It says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a servant and was born as a human being. This passage goes on to say how he even chose death. He even chose death over his place of glory. Now, I want you guys to understand something about Jesus and his incredible love for you. Can you imagine a God who is willing to leave his place of glory and come to this planet to be a part of what we have going on here? There is nothing desirable about this place when you've experienced heaven. And let me just say this, for anybody who's ever died and gone to heaven and you imagine them in the arms of Jesus and in the presence of their Savior, how would anybody ever want to return to this earth, right? You know how some people are like, man, I just wish they would come back, and they're just like, no, I don't want to come back. I'm in the best place I've ever been. And that is a place that Jesus left to come and be with us. You know, it's interesting. The word that's used here where it says that he humbled himself and became a man, it's, in the Greek, it's the word kenosis, which means the emptying of oneself. The emptying of oneself. I want you to think about this. I realize this is kind of a big theological truth to drop on you at Christmas time, but understand that Jesus, when he came to earth, he gave something up, okay? He did not become less God, but when Jesus became a man, he had to experience the limitations of humanity. And so in order for him to experience the limitations of humanity, he had to empty himself of some of his divine privileges, some of the things that he had always been and had always experienced. Jesus let some of those things go so that he could experience humanity just like us. See, Jesus loved you so much, he was willing to surrender his divine attributes and live within the limitations of humanity. That's how much he loves you. Think about that. I mean, a God who is omnipresent, that means he's everywhere at once. A God who is everywhere at once chooses to be in one place at one time. Can you imagine that? A God who is omniscient, who knows everything, chooses to be born a baby and grow in knowledge and learn. And so he empties himself of all the knowledge and all of what he knew as God. Guys, this is amazing when you really think about what Jesus went through to come and be with us. You know, we talk about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, and I don't want to belittle that, because Jesus going to the cross and dying a sinner's death that he didn't deserve, that is a big deal. But understand that wasn't the only sacrifice that Jesus made in order for him to be with us. That wasn't his only sacrifice. Leaving heaven, leaving glory, and coming here to this earth, I believe, was one of the biggest sacrifices that Jesus made. But he did that because he knew it was the only way. And in fact, when his humanity and his emotions and his passion all came crashing down on him in that moment in the garden, and he says, not my will, but your will be done, it's a beautiful picture of the attitude that we're supposed to have. Jesus models perfectly. I mean, think about his loss. Think about what he gave up to be here. And think about what he was about to go through. All of that for us. And he says, not what I would want in my human will, but what the Father wants. Guys, it's a big deal that Jesus is with me in my world, that he chose to be here in our world. And here's the thing. It wasn't like Jesus became a man and then he's like, okay, I'm done with that. Now I'm going to be 100% God and no longer be man again. That's not what happened. When Jesus chose to become 100% human, he always is going to be human. He kept that human attribute. He kept that part. And he's 100% God, 100% human. We don't understand how that's God math. We don't understand how that works. But we just know that that was a decision Jesus made for eternity. Someone once said that the only man-made thing in heaven are the scars on Jesus' hands and feet and side. Think about that, my friends. Think about what Jesus sacrificed to be with us, to be a part of our world. So not only is he with me in my world, but he's with me in my weakness. Let's look a little bit deeper into who Jesus is when this idea of being with us. Hebrews 4, verse 15 says, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." So here we have Jesus, a perfect God, who chose to come to an imperfect world and to become a human, to be clothed in the imperfection of humanity, and he experiences all the same things that we experience. So did Jesus experience disappointment? You bet. Did Jesus experience pain? Yeah. Did he experience discouragement? Did he experience hunger? Did he weep? All of the emotions, all of the challenges that you face as a human, Jesus experienced the same things. The Bible explains why. It explains that Jesus did this so that he could understand our weaknesses. See, God with us means that Jesus not only understands the challenges that I face, but he actually experienced them for himself. So it's not just like Jesus says, "I get it when you're hurting." Jesus doesn't just say, you know, I feel your pain, I understand. No, Jesus is like, "I've been where you are. I've experienced what you're going through. I know what it's like to have my feelings hurt. I know what it's like to have people turn their backs on me. I know what it's like to be disillusioned or disappointed." He experienced all of that. Look what it says in Hebrews 2:17. "Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people." Now understand this, that if Jesus hadn't become fully human and hadn't experienced the same things that we experience, his death wouldn't have been a fully human death. If he hadn't said, "I'm in this 100%, then when he went to the cross, he wouldn't have been in it 100%. You've got to understand that Jesus did that. He made that choice to be with us and to experience everything that we've experienced. And so the weakness, the challenges that we face on a regular basis, those are the same challenges that Jesus faced. Look what it says in Romans 8:3. It says, "It is impossible to do what God's standards demand because of the weakness of our human that our human nature has. But God sent his son to have a human nature as sinners have in order to pay for sin. That way God condemns sin in our corrupt nature." What is this saying? Another big theological truth for us. But Jesus experiencing humanity qualified him to go to the cross and pay for the sins of humanity. He was the sacrificial lamb, yes, but the experience of being born human and experiencing what it means to live as humans do qualified him to go to the cross and to pay the price for our sins. And he knows, my friend, he knows what you're going through. He doesn't just get it, or doesn't just say that he gets it. He really, really knows, because he experienced the same kind of things that you're experiencing right now. And so sometimes, if you're like me, and you pray to God and you ask yourself, "God, you know, do you even understand what I'm going through? Or you say, God, how can you know? How can you know how much my heart hurts over this? How can you know the kind of pain that I'm going through right now? He does. Because he's with me in my weakness. You see, God with us means that Jesus did what was impossible for me to do on my own because of my weakness. But now, through him, I am made strong. He's not only experienced the same weakness that I experienced, but he's given me the ability to be strong. He's given me his power, his supernatural power, so that I can live in victory and strength. And no matter what you're going through, no matter how tough the situation seems, understand Jesus knows exactly what you're going through, and he's giving you the power to get through it. He's giving you the ability, and it's not something you have within yourself. It's not like, you know, you have this inner strength that you can rely on, because the reality is, apart from Christ, we don't have inner strength. That's something that he provides us with. He gives us the strength to make it. Look what he says to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9 when Paul was struggling and wrestling with his weakness. He says, "My grace is all you need. My power is strongest when you are weak." And then Paul says, "So if Christ keeps giving me his power, I will gladly brag about how weak I am." He's like, if me being weak means that my power has to come from God, he's like, I'm all for it. I'm 100% for it. And my friends, if you have tried to live this life in your own strength in any capacity, you know what Paul's talking about here. Because we can't do it on our own. We can't even survive on this planet without God. And those that do and those that boast that they made it through life without God, I mean, think about how ridiculous that is. Is there one thing on earth that we have that doesn't come from God? The book of James tells us that every gift that we have is a gift that's come down from the Father. And whether we recognize it or not, it's from God. And whether we, you know, complain about it or not, it's from God. We need to understand that Jesus not only has experienced our weakness for himself, but now he supplements that with his strength, and it's a strength that we can't get anywhere else. And it's all ours. Because he chose to be with us. So he's with me in my world. He made that decision to come and be a part of this mess that we call planet Earth. He's with me in my weakness. He's experienced all the same things that I've experienced, all the pain and disappointment in life, but he's also with me in my worship. Now, here's where things turn around, because I need to understand something about Christmas. Christmas is something that we celebrate that we don't even fully understand. We think of it as a holiday that commemorates something that happened a long time ago. Am I right? I mean, and that's a Christian worldview, right? We look at Christmas as a celebration of something that happened a long time ago. But we don't think of Christmas as being a celebration of something that's happening right now. And this is my point. It's not that Jesus came 2,000 years ago and was born in that stable and grew up a little boy in Nazareth. That's not what we commemorate at Christmas. We commemorate God with us. That Jesus isn't just a story, that he's not just a figure in history, but that he is a living person that is with us right now. Guys, that is something to get excited about at Christmas. And I don't know about what excites you about this holiday, but what excites me about this is knowing that every single person can experience the presence of Jesus in their life right now. Not just through the nativity scene, not just through reading the Christmas story and reflecting on that, but right now experiencing Jesus' presence. That's why I say he's with us in our worship. He's not only a part of our world, he's not only a part of our experience here in this world, but he's a part of our worship. Guys, Jesus deserves all the glory. We sang the song a little while ago that says, "En excelsis Deo," right? That basically is saying Jesus is deserving of all the glory. Are we giving Jesus all the glory that he deserves? Are we giving him what he deserves? And I'm not saying that we're giving it to him because we owe him something. But think about this. Think about all of what Jesus had to go through and had to experience to become like us. And so he could truly claim that he is God with us. And know that Jesus is worthy of our worship because of that. He's with me in my worship. Ezekiel 37:27 says, "My dwelling place will be with them." This is God speaking. He says, "My dwelling place will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Understand that Jesus chose you. He chose you. He said, "I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people." You know, perhaps the greatest glory of Christmas is that God chooses to be in the presence of those who worship him. Ephesians 2:22 says, "In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." Understand that the ultimate goal for us is to be a perfect place that Jesus dwells in, that our bodies are the temple of God, that our lives represent the presence of Jesus here on earth. And so we try to be good, and we try to serve others, and we try to do all these things that God wants us to do that's going to bring him glory, not because we think it's the best way to live, but because we want to create the greatest environment for Jesus to live in. His dwelling place, his temple. We want it to be a place that Jesus is honored by. Again, a verse from John chapter 4:24, and I can't wait to get into our new series in January where we can explore these thoughts a little deeper. But it says, "For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." So I once had someone tell me that everything in life is spiritual. And the first time I heard that, I was like, you know what? I don't know if I buy that. I'm going to have to think about that. Because there's some things in life that I don't think have a spiritual element to them. But the more I thought about that concept, the more I begin to realize that because I am a spiritual person, that because every single one of you is a spirit, you're not just, you know, a bag of bones and flesh, but you actually are a spirit. And because of that, everything that you do in life, everything that touches you, everything that affects you has a spiritual component to it. And the greatest component is our ability, the call on our soul and our hearts to worship God. And that's what it means when it says God should be worshiped in spirit and in truth. It means with everything that we have in us, that is what God desires to be worshiped with. Psalms 22, verse 3. By the way, I'm going to read this verse for you, and then I want to tell you about an article that I read. But Psalms 22, verse 3 says, "But you are holy, you who inhabit the praises of Israel." So I've heard people use this expression that God inhabits the praises of his people, and I thought, what does that mean? What does it mean that God inhabits our praises, that God chooses that our praises would be the place that he dwells? Some versions say that God calls our praises his throne, okay, the place that he chooses to reign from, the praises of his people. And I thought about this, and I was reading this article, and someone was saying, you know, you can't say that God inhabits the praises of his people, because, you know, that means that whenever we praise God, it's like God has to be there, right? That God, you know, the moment we start praising him, and maybe we think of praise as singing worship songs, but the moment we start to praise God, it's like God has an obligation to be there because he inhabits the praises of his people. And as I was reading that, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, that's not true that God is obligated to be there, but didn't God make a choice to come to this earth? Didn't God make a choice to be with us? Wasn't that God's decision? So it's not like we invite him. It's not like our praises attract him, but God chose us. God, it was his idea. Praise, worship, that's God's concept. That's not ours. It's not like we came up with this great idea and we're like, hey, let's get together a band and let's sing songs about God and we'll call it worship. No, that wasn't our idea. We didn't say, oh, you know, let's start living good lives and then we'll be like, God, you get the glory for this. That wasn't a concept we came up with. Where did that come from? It came from God himself. God said, do this and you'll honor me. God said, give me the attention of your heart. Love me with your heart, soul, and mind, and you'll be worshiping me. That was God's idea. That was his plan. He set that up. And so when it says God inhabits the praises of his people, yeah, he has an obligation to be there because he wants to be there because that was his rule. That's his kingdom. That's his place of dwelling. So when we say God with us, yes, God has decided, he's made the choice to be with us, to be in our presence. And we don't have to invite him. We don't have to do something special for God to be there. God doesn't need an invitation. He owns this place. He owns us. We are his creation. We are his people. Now understand all of that because I want you to get this. Okay, this is God's. It's all God's. We are God's. We are all God's. Understand that and get that into your heart. Embrace that truth. Wrap your mind around that. And then understand this. The beauty of this, the beauty of God's decision to be with us is that he doesn't force us to be with him. Do you guys get that? He is with us, but he doesn't force us to be with him. Guess what? He gives us a choice. He gives us a choice. He says, I choose to be with you. What's your decision? And now we have to ask ourselves, is it just going to be a holiday for us? Is it just going to be a spiritual moment? Is it just going to be a Sunday morning? Is it just going to be an experience in his word? Is it just going to be this little moment of prayer? Or am I going to truly take God's invitation to be with him? So it's not just Emmanuel, God with us, but it's God with us and Jeremiah with him. That's a choice that God's given us to make. And my prayer for each and every one of you guys, and I'm not even talking about Christmas, but if you could celebrate the presence of Jesus every day in your life and say, God, I choose to be with you. I don't want to live for you. I don't want to do stuff alongside you. I don't want to like work underneath you because you're this great God. No, I choose to be with you just like you chose to be with me. That's a big deal. You know what the difference is? Yesterday I was trying to teach Josiah how to ride a bike. Yeah, he's a little behind in that, right? We've made several attempts, but they haven't all been that great. And he was upset about it. You know, he's just like, why do I have to learn to ride a bike? He's like, I don't want to. He's like, I'm just going to get a motorcycle. I'm like, oh, that's not really how that works, son. But good luck with that. No, I'm like, you got to learn how to do this. And so I had Jetty out there, and Jetty had the little bike with training wheels. And, you know, he's like going everywhere. And Josiah's like, well, he's got training wheels. You know, that's why he's able to do that, you know. And I'm like, no, it's because Dad's right here, you know. Dad's helping him along, right? Dad is right by his side, right? And then I was going to kind of prove how brave Jetty was, and I kind of like let him launch out on his own, and he was doing fine, did that a few times, and then suddenly Jetty turned the wheel a little too sharp, and he falls off the bike. And this whole time, Josiah was like, Dad, I'm going to fall, and I'm going to hit my head. He's like, I don't even have a helmet, right? This isn't even legal, right? He got, you know, he pulled that one on me, right? He's like, we don't even have a helmet, you know, we're going to get arrested out here. I'm like, buddy, you're not going to fall. Dad is right here with you. Nothing's going to happen to you. Let's do this. And then I give Jetty that little push, and Jetty falls down. Face plants in the cement in our driveway. So he like gets up, and Josiah's like, see, I told you. I'm like, oh, man. Even my wife is like, way to go, Dad, you know? I'm like, ah, oh, I'm not even worthy to wear this sweater. But you know, I thought about this. I thought about the fact that my son was afraid, you know, to push off and ride the bike on his own. My other son, you know, was kind of brave and willing to, like, do anything, even fall on his face. And it was all, it all had to do with the fact that I was there, that I was present with them. Now, understand something, that God is with you when you fall. God is with you when you're afraid. God is with you in those moments where you're not even sure if he's there. Guys, can we celebrate the fact that we have a God that is with us, and that no matter what we're endeavoring in life, no matter how risky it may seem, God is with us. He is with us. That's a big deal, guys. That helps me be able to get through the difficult times in life. That helps me be able to walk through life and to hold my head up and say, I've got nothing to worry about. Because my closest friend is Emmanuel. And his name means I'm going to be with you. Always, all the time. I want to just end with this quote. Oh, I forgot to say this. God with us means I'm constantly in Jesus' presence, free from fear and worry, and free to worship him without reservation. Sometimes I like to read pastors, old pastors, you know, from like the 1800s, like to read their sermons and just see what they were talking about back then, see the kind of things that they were saying. And so one of my favorites is J.C. Ryle, and I want to read what he says here. He says about this, he says, he is ever Emmanuel, God with us daily to pardon and forgive, with us daily to sanctify and strengthen, with us daily to defend and keep, with us daily to lead and to guide, with us in sorrow, with us in joy, with us in sickness, and with us in health, with us in life, and with us in death, with us in time, and with us in eternity. If you can think of a single place where God is not with you, my friend, it's a lie. He's with us. He made that choice. And now he's asking us to make a choice. Are we going to be with him? Are we going to respond to his presence with our presence? See, Christmas is all about presence. It's all about the presence of God. Don't forget that. Don't let that truth get lost in everything else. And don't let it just stick around for December. Live in that truth. Live every day of your life in that truth that God is with you. Father, I thank you, first of all, God, that you love us so much. God, there is nothing that can separate us from your love. God, I celebrate the fact that Jesus came to this earth, made a choice to be with us, made a choice to be a part of our world, to experience the weaknesses that we experience, and to inhabit our worship. God, let that truth sink into our hearts at this Christmas season. And I would pray for every single person in this room that it wouldn't just be about the holiday, God, but it would be about your presence. It would be about you being with us. God, and help that truth to become a part of our lives that we think about on a regular basis, that we fall back on in times when we struggle. God, help us to be very much aware of your presence in our lives. We need you so much, Father. We need you. Thank you. Thank you, God, for choosing to be with us. And today, maybe you're sitting here and that makes sense to you. It makes sense to you that God's chosen to be with us, but maybe you've never made it personal. Maybe you've never in your own heart, made that choice where you said, God, I'm going to be with you. You've promised me your presence, and now I want to give you my heart. If that's you, wouldn't it be beautiful? You know, we talked about how the memories at Christmas come back, and some are good, some are bad. Wouldn't it be amazing if the memory that flooded your heart at Christmas was this memory of saying yes to Jesus? This memory of saying, God, I choose to be with you. Now you're with me and I'm with you. If that's a decision you want to make today, guys, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. And you can do that right where you're sitting in your own heart by simply accepting God's beautiful invitation. Recognize that Jesus gave his life for you so that you can be free from your sin. So ask him to forgive you for trying to do it on your own. And say, Jesus, I'm ready to surrender my heart, my life to you. I don't want it to just be God with me. I want it to be me with God. And the best you know how, accept his invitation and discover all that he has for you in this life. My friend, going through this life in God's presence with God can't be compared to anything else. And that's his invitation to you. Thanks, Father. Thanks for loving us that much. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, if you made a decision today to be with God, I'd love to know about that. I'd love to talk to you about that decision. Jerry would love to talk to you about that. Let's explore together what it means to live life with God. Does that sound good? Awesome. Let's stand together and sing this last song.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.